Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening, you know you are, to the Albion Fan Show, the West Bromwich Albion Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. The next 30 minutes, it is your takeover, the Baggies takeover, and you can talk everything Albion. It is simple, it is easy. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Buckle up and buckle in because the ride, well, it's been a bumpy one. Highs and lows, but West Brom are back to the summit and they are flying high. Back-to-back wins since we last spoke. Five goals, more importantly, back-to-back clean sheets, 9 points clear of third, four clear of second place. They are sitting pretty as we near the end of the season. Could we soon be talking about West Bromwich Albion, the Premier League side, the Championship side, no longer? Well, a man who joins us now, as he so often does, and it is one we are always keen to hear his views on, it is Joe Chapman from Birmingham Mail. Joe, always good to get you back on. You know how much I enjoy hearing what you have to say and your articles. But at the minute, Joe, I have to admit, that little blip, that little rocky sticky patch that West Bromwich Albion seems, well, it just seems absolutely ancient away.
Yeah, it seems a long time ago, doesn't it? They were irresistible at times on Saturday against Bristol City, and I think the biggest compliment I can probably pay them on Tuesday against another very, very decent team in Preston is that they made it look like it was a routine victory, as if they were playing a team that were mid-table or in a relegation battle. You know, it was really very, very much a case of just sweeping them aside. They obviously are still missing a few key players. Kieran Gibbs and Gravy and Garner are still missing, and Romain Sawyers, that was the first game he missed as part of his suspension. But they just kind of, you know, dusted themselves off and got on with it and got the early goal. Fantastic early goal from Hal Robson-Kanu. And Jay Livermore, who's been in absolutely incredible form in the last few months, has scored the second goal just before half-time, really killed the game as a competition, really. And from there, they were able to really control it. They probably should have had two or three more goals. That would be the only thing I imagine that Slaven Bilic will have said to them after the game, is that, you know, as comfortable as you were, guys, it's opportunity to rack up the goal difference, that kind of thing, against 10 men, which Preston had. And yeah, they were absolutely fantastic, both at the front and at the back, which is something that really has stuck out for me in the last couple of games.
Well, this is it. A team we're seeing fire on all cylinders because offensively brilliant, but defensively rock solid as well. And it's true and key what you say there, you know. Yeah, West Brom have been wonderful, playing some beautiful, superb football, but that is total Bilic, total professionalism, saying, yeah, we played well, but still so much more we can do out here tonight, boys.
Yeah. And you know, I think you don't want to detract too much from the goals that they have scored this season and the success they've had in front of goal. They are the top scorers in the division by quite a way. The thing that struck me on Tuesday night was that was Robson-Kanu's 10th goal of the season. It's the first time in his career he's got to double figures, and he's the first player who has reached double figures this season for West Brom, despite the fact they're top of the league. So that tells you that they've got threats all over the pitch. You know, Ajayi's got five goals. Livermore, I think that was his third. Pereira's got six. Phillips has got seven. Austin's got nine. So they've got goals everywhere. And that's something that has been really, really key as well. But on the defensive side of things, again, statistically, the way they've set up in the last few games has been phenomenal. He's dropped Kyle Bartley and brought Ahmed Agassi and given him a couple of games to stake a claim, and he has done so to great effect. Preston did have a shot on target on Tuesday night, and Bristol City only managed one as well. So, you know, all of a sudden, it's not even, can we score against West Brom? It's, can we even, you know, threaten them at the minute? And they'll be, I imagine, they'll be hoping to do very much the same again this weekend when they host Wigan Athletic at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, Wigan obviously on a great run themselves, unbeaten in four. But before we look to that and still talk about those two games, you just mentioned Charlie Austin there. And there was an article actually in the Birmingham Mail I wanted to speak about a little bit, because I know Charlie Austin isn't really getting the minutes. He seemed a little bit frustrated the other night. What do you know about this, Joe? Can you enlighten us a little bit? We understand that every player wants to play every game and that doesn't happen. But what's the feeling around the situation there at the minute?
Well, I asked, it was brought to my attention on Tuesday evening after the game that Austin had left the field of play and seemed to be in a less than happy mood. So I did ask Slaven Bilic, and he said, I think it was probably just a case of the lack of minutes he's been having. But he did praise Austin for his attitude and his work rate, you know, on the training ground. And when he does get minutes, he has, of course, got 9 goals this season. So it's not like he's not contributed anything at all. He has, and especially in the back end of November and the start of December, he was on a really, really hot streak. And I think it's more just how Austin Kanu's form at the minute that's kind of costing Austin minutes. He's not the only one in the squad. Darnell Furlong can count himself very unlucky. He's been very, very good. But because of the balance in the back four that Bilic wants, he's been sacrificed, and Dar O'Shea's been playing ahead of him. So, you know, it keeps everyone on their toes, I suppose. And the competition is very, very stern. I don't think there was anything untoward with Austin. You know, he's one of my colleagues was in the tunnel after the game speaking to the players, and he seemed very, very chirpy. He went back out onto the field with Matt Phillips as the substitute do at the end of the game for a warm down, and did so, you know, with no fuss. So I think everything's okay there. It's just, of course, you see things like that in one shot, one snapshot. And if you're a West Brom fan at the moment, you're kind of thinking, well, we don't want anything to kind of rock the boat because everything's been going so well recently.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned one of the ones that is going well. It is Robson Kanu, certainly in the goals at the minute. And we always knew of his talent, his ability, but he has really come to the fore at the minute in those goals. What has been this small turnaround? Because one on the weekend, one tonight, and at the minute, it just seems, you know, when you've got that form, that confidence, Joe, everything you do just comes off.
Yeah, he took his goal brilliantly on Tuesday. It was a brilliant ball over the top from Callum Robinson. He chested it down with two defenders on top of him, and he managed to squeeze the ball under Declan Rudd. Like, on Saturday, it was two different finishes. One was a fantastic finish where he took full advantage of a really bad header backwards from Ashley Williams, who's a terrific first-time finish. The first one, actually, in the first half was really, you know, your kind of fox-in-the-box kind of finish where he jumped on a ball that had been spilled by the keeper, Daniel Bentley, and was just on hand, really, just to tap it in. And it was, you know, that kind of striker's now, so I imagine that, you know, Bilic will expect from all of his forwards. Robson Kanu this season has really, I think, just played a very, very key role as a centre-forward, certainly since November time when he was given a start after scoring a couple of goals from the bench. And he's not really looked back. I mean, Austin's only started one game in the league since Boxing Day, so that tells you all you need to know about Robson Kanu, his contribution, his performances that are keeping him in the team. He's making, you know, he's a really, really good footballer. He's someone with the ball at his feet. He's very, very clever with, you know, his turn, his ball control. And of course, even when he hasn't been scoring, he's been contributing in other ways because he's been allowing players like Robinson, players like Kravinovic, and of course, Pereira to flourish. So, he's as important a player as any of the front four or five that have been firing on all cylinders recently. And even when he hasn't been scoring, he's still been putting in very, very important performances.
Yeah, it just seems like the minute everyone is coming together, the whole team, and it's showing. We haven't even spoken about Robinson, what an impact he's having. How good has he been? Because he's been a player that's in the goals himself, or maybe a player that's also keeping Austin out. And he's just seemed like he's been at West Brom for ages, Joe. He's just absolutely a seamless slipping into that team.
Yeah, I couldn't really put it any better, to be honest. It does feel like he's been there since the start of the season, the way he's been playing, the way that he's struck up such a bright, really, really, really happy friendship with Kravinovic on the pitch, off the pitch. They're often seen celebrating and dancing after the games. And of course, he's been here for, I think, is it six games now since that Luton game? And he's been on the winning side five times and he's yet to taste defeat. And he'll hope that's a continue. He's obviously a player that got a Premier League move in the summer. Chris Wilder and Sheffield United saw the qualities in him. But of course, when you've got Ollie McBurney, David McGoldrick, Lees Moussa, they've got plenty of forward options. Robinson has obviously not been able to enjoy as much regular football as he'd quite like. So when the opportunity came around in the January window to move down to the top of the division below and play, you know, kind of week in, week out and contribute, obviously being from Northampton, so kind of just south of the Midlands, is obviously a place he knows very, very well, having come through the ranks at Aston Villa. And, you know, I've interviewed him the one time. He's an absolute lad. And, yeah, that's another one you kind of hope will continue in the same vein of form. The one big decision that has to be made in the coming weeks will then be, how on earth do you get Viangana back into this team? Because he's been absolutely phenomenal this season. He's been a huge part in Albion's success. But at the minute, it's hard to see anybody dropping out of the starting
11. Yeah, I think he will come back now. But the thing with Robinson, you know, sometimes you get these January loan moves and you're hoping for the best. You want them to hit the ground running. They sometimes don't pay off. This Robinson one feels like it really is. But Joe, just while we got you, I wanted to talk about that incident in the Preston game, the Fisher red card. Alex Neil wasn't happy. They actually appealed the red and they won that appeal. He wasn't happy that it was near the West Brom dugout, the players, the staff running on the pitch. But there is a little bit of history there, isn't there, with Alex Neil, a little bit of tensions. What is all that situation?
Well, Alex Neil, on his last visit, actually, in April of last year, brought Preston to the Hawthorns. And at the time, he was kind of the leading candidate in Albion's eyes to replace Darren Moore, who'd been sacked. And it kind of rumbled on, the speculation rumbled on. There was never anything really kind of firmed up by way of Albion's interest. And eventually, Neil would commit his own future to Preston, sign a new long-term deal. And of course, that's just, you know, that meant that Albion would then go into the playoffs with Jimmy Shan in charge, and then would revisit the managerial appointment that they needed in the summer. And that's obviously something that, in hindsight, couldn't have worked out any better. You know, they've got a man who has breathed fresh life back into the club, and you know, I don't think anybody at the Hawthorns on Tuesday night would have swapped Alex Neil, as good a manager as he is, for the job that Slaven Bilic has done. So, you know, he's a good manager. He's a really good coach. He's somebody, when he comes into the press conference after the game, I really enjoy listening to him. He speaks quite frankly, and you know, he's got a decent squad there as well. But Bilic has been, you know, more than anybody could have hoped for, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimate professional. Just interesting with that little bit of history with Alex Neil. Joe, always good to get you on. You enjoy listening to Alex Neil. I enjoy listening to you. Really appreciate you giving us time on the West Bromwich Albion Fan Show. And there is still time to join us and tweet your opinions. So tweet them at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the West Bromwich Albion Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from the brilliant Joe Chapman there from Birmingham Owl. Everything, what is going on, so much insight. You hear it when Joe talks, saying he asked Slaven this and he spoke to Alex Neil about that. It's a wonderful insight that we get for you firsthand on this show. And you can always have your say. Ask Joe or any of our correspondents for their opinion and your thoughts on the team. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, a man who joins us every week, it is a special man. It's Wayne Gordon from All Things Albion. Wayne, we had to be there in that rocky, sticky patch. It's all on the up at the minute. We're talking about those big results, those last two games against teams that were in and around you. 3-0 Bristol City, 2-0 Preston. How much for you, Wayne, was this a marker of the team's ability, and how much did it lay down a statement with coming against teams who have promotional ambitions of their own?
Yeah, absolutely did. We came into February, and I think I remember saying to you that this was going to be the month that makes or breaks our season, and shows whether we're going to be around there for promotion or not. And now we have one game left in February. We've taken 16 points from the 18 available, and I think we have one foot in the Premier League now. I really do. I think Bilic has found a balance. I think if you can play teams around us that were sitting in sixth and seventh place, and they barely trouble your goalkeeper, I think you're laughing all the way to the Premier League, to be honest.
Laughing all the way to the Premier League. Well, Wayne, that was my next question, because it's 11 games to go. You're 9 clear of third, and that's the main thing. Are the West Bromwich Albion fans then starting to believe? They're not going to get carried away. We know how it can turn, but you are 9 points clear, and that's 3 games. Are they dreaming that, all right, maybe not as champions, we don't know, but those top two, we're going up and we're back?
It feels like that now, yeah. I think more people are starting to look at this team now and look at the summer and see what we're going to do. As you say, it's not done yet. I think maybe 4 or 5 more wins is going to do it comfortably, to be honest. I think we're so close now. And the way we're playing, I think we'll be done pretty soon. I think we can beat anybody right now. They're playing that well. Great to watch.
They are. The football they're playing at the minute, and even as I know you and Joe will be aware, and you just heard it there, but not conceding goals as well. It's not just the way they're doing it going forward. They're not conceding. There's no real weakness in the team at the minute. It just feels like that has been shedded, that little bad run they had from ages ago, and we are seeing really head and shoulders above everyone else, because those teams in and around those playoffs dropping points of late, so it's made West Brom's results look even better because the gap has been pushed further.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to give Bilic credit for the defensive improvement. I think when he dropped Furlong and replacing O'Shea, there were a few eyebrows raised and turned out to be an incredible decision. I thought Furlong was unlucky to be dropped, but no one can argue with how good O'Shea has done. And he did the same a couple of weeks ago, dropping Bartley, who everyone is raving about this season, much improved, one of our best players. He makes a few errors, he gets dropped, Hegazi comes in, and he's back-to-back clean sheets. And it would have been so easy for Bilic to say, look, we're top of the table, I don't need to change anything. We're going okay, we'll keep going. But he didn't. He looked at what needed to be done, he did it, and it's paid off.
Yeah, absolutely, it's paid off. Well, I've got to speak to Joe about one incident in that game with Preston where Alex Neil wasn't happy, Fisher sent off, West Brom running out on the touchline. There was another incident in the game, this time on Saturday with Bristol City. Romain Sawyer's getting sent off, putting his hands to the throat. By the letter of the law, you couldn't do that. Bilic saying that, well, look, they know each other, it was a little bit of fun, and if this is a red card, then we anticipate and open the gates to a lot more red cards. I know you have your West Brom biasness, Wayne, but what did you make of the whole incident?
I thought it was Stonewall red card. I think you can't expect the referees and the officials to know if players are friends, if they've got that kind of friendship. I think if a player puts his hand around the throat of another player, he's going to see a red card every day. I understand that Bilic is trying to protect Sawyers, but, you know, as you say, you can't put your hand up there. The player's face, the player's throat, you're always going to go.
Yeah, it's such a tough one at the minute. Sawyers, though, we know what ability he has, how class. Some West Brom players can't get a look in the team at the minute, just how good West Brom are doing. 2 massive games, though, next. I really want to talk about that FA Cup clash with Newcastle. But before that, Wayne, it is Wigan. And we know West Brom are on a tear at the minute. Arguably so are Wigan. I'm beating him for back-to-back wins, beating Reading 3-0 last night. They're trying to fight for their lives. They're trying to stay in the Championship. You're trying to leave it. But this is a big game for both sides, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a tricky one. I think when we looked at the results we had in February, we looked at Wigan as the okay, now we can breathe. We've got a little breathe here before we go into the next month. And suddenly they're on a tear. And it's that time of the season when teams around the bottom start picking up points. They're fighting for their lives, and I think the last 7 games have been pretty good. So I think this is going to be quite a tricky one, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. You do have that cushion. It's so weird at the minute, Wayne. Obviously, this is the West Brom show, but we're seeing teams at the bottom and one you face, Wigan, Luton, Barnsley, all of a sudden in better form than maybe arguably your counterparts in those playoff places.
Yeah, the bottom of the table has tightened up massively in recent weeks. I think a few weeks ago you could have called 2 of the 3 relegated teams and felt pretty confident about your decision. But it's all changed now. It's pretty different. Paul Cook's doing a great job with them, and I'm not going to bet against him keeping them up.
Yeah, I know, it's such a big one. Who will go down? Middlesbrough struggling as well. A few teams above it, Stoke and Charlton, Hull are really on the slide. Just as exciting as the race at the top. And West Brom aren't in that race. It's those teams chasing West Brom. They're being hunted. quickly for you then, a score prediction on that Wigan game, Wayne.
As tricky as I think to be, I wouldn't bet against us right now. We're so good. So I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0 to West Brom. And arguably a bigger game on the in midweek now. It is Newcastle in the Cup. It is at home. We know the Geordies would travel, but they're not in great form. They haven't won in 9 games. West Brom are flying at the minute. And I know you've said on this show, Wayne, there is only one prize. There is only one place our eyes are, and that is on Premier League promotion. But you win this game, you're in the quarterfinals of an FA Cup against a side who aren't playing very well. What are you making of this one now? Has the expectations changed at all? And what side can we really expect to see?
I don't think the expectations have changed. I still think, you know, we would be grateful for an FA Cup run, but it's not important. But I do think now, as I say, it feels like we have one foot in the Premier League. I think we can be a bit more relaxed about pushing for that league form and betting everything on the league form and maybe push the boat out and have a little go at Newcastle. Yeah. I think they're there to be beaten.
Well, this is it. And I mean, you had a previous scalp, didn't you, in you beat West Ham. So arguably, Wayne, would you make the in this game with Newcastle, if you get through them, I don't want to get carried away, you are in the quarterfinals, then the goalposts do change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is, considering our league position, the strength we have in the team, especially with the way we can rotate players now. I mean, you've got players like Furlong, Austin or Phillips just begging for a start. I think this is the best chance we've had in a good few years to get a really good cup run and you know, dare to dream a little bit. The FA Cup, that's what it's there for.
Absolutely. I just think this is a massive, massive clash. There's no game arguably bigger, but for you still the Wigan game is bigger than Wayne.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things. I would be slightly disappointed if we were to prioritise the Newcastle game, but I still think we have enough in the locker to have a crack.
Yeah, because even though they've made the fifth round, and that is the first time since 2006, they took them 2 ties against Rochdale, 2 ties against Oxford, both League One opposition, and if anything, you know, coming to West Brom, they've not been like putting teams lights out to get here, and the tie has to be done on the night, Wayne. There is no replay, so if this goes for extra time penalties, all at the Hawthorns, maybe the favourites, and you know, and everyone will favour the Baggies.
Yeah, I think so. I having watched us play, and you know, I've not regularly watched Newcastle, I've seen bits. I would have us down as favourites to beat Newcastle.
Just favourites then, Wayne. Go on and give us a prediction. FA Cup fifth round next week.
1-0. Baggies.
1-0 Baggies. I love it, Wayne. I love the confidence. Just shows you how much this run has changed the confidence of the fans, the momentum of the players, flying high at the summit of the Championship. Wayne, always good to get you on and have a chat with you. And you can join us on any fan show, but particularly this West Brom fan show. We want you. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 258. Well, the Baggies, they are bouncing. How much will they continue to jump and bounce? Because those next two games are massive. We could be seeing them in the Premier League. We could be seeing them in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.